I want to bring to you tonight the last in our series on prayer related to the normal, natural life of the Christian. And we've emphasized over the last six or seven times we've been together the prayer life of the Christian. The prayer life of the Christian ought to be something that's normal and natural, that flows out of your heart throughout the daytime, that you can just go to the Lord and talk to Him any time of the day. As you grow in your faith, you're growing closer to whom? Your Heavenly Father. And you ought to be able to talk to Him at any time. You ought not to have long periods where you're not talking to Him and you have to reacquaint yourself with Him. It ought to be a praying without ceasing, a spirit and an attitude where you just talk to the Lord. Do you find yourself doing that? It should be the norm where you're just talking to Him and, Lord, boy, I've got something. I've been talking to Him a lot lately. When we have matches, it seems like soccer every year gets harder and harder to find people that will step up to volunteer. And this is the Lord's work. He's given us an opportunity to minister to the community. And I just pray, Lord, we've got these needs and we need You to step in. And every year He always provides. But He tests our faith in the process, and mine especially. What's going to happen? And, we need to have that kind of confidence. But it shouldn't be something that's forced. It should be natural for the Christian. Last time I gave you a quote from D.L. Moody that I want to read again to you because it's been so helpful in my own life. I've had this quote for some time, and it's one that's been beneficial in my own Christian life. And I want to read it slowly, and I want you to take it in. Because what he shared in the past is just as true in the present. And it's this. Prayer does not mean that I am to bring God down to my thoughts and my purposes and bend His government according to my foolish, silly, and sometimes sinful notions. Sometimes we bring sinful notions to God in prayer. Sometimes we bring silly things to God in prayer. Things that really don't matter, but we think that they really matter. And sometimes God shows us they don't matter. He'll bring things into our life to just change something. I got an invitation to go over to Grand Opening over here, and we had been dealing with them for several years about possibly selling the land. They approached us, and the Lord closed that door. And I have to admit, I struggled with that for a little bit. Lord, that extra money would have been very helpful with paving roads and things of that nature. But the Lord sent it a different direction and took it another way. And I've just said, Lord, thank You. I won't know probably for several years what the Lord has planned. I have still no idea what He has planned for that property out there. If You'd have asked me when I was in high school whether we were going to have a learning center in that building over there instead of the high school, I'd have told you no. That's the high school building. God had other plans for that building. It sat idle for 8 years. And then finally, we had to move Aunt Carolyn out of there. We stuck her over there in a corner with the Children's Bible Club, and the Lord opened up us building another addition to the print shop, and then moved the learning center over there. God has things that He's thinking way ahead of us on. What have I got to do? This is the next thought. Prayer means that I am to be raised up into union and design with Him. That I am to enter into His counsel and carry out His purpose fully. When you think about Luke chapter 18, which is the passage that we are in, and you read about the Lord's Prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer, He says, disciples, this is how you're supposed to pray. And one of the phrases in there is, Lord, may Your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. Is there ever a second in heaven that God's will is not performed? You ever meditated on that? There is not one second in all of eternity that heaven will do something that's not according to the will of God. It's always operated that way. And in our prayers, we're to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I wonder if we really pray that way. And that's what I want to get into on this last lesson about prayer. Do we really pray that way? The Bible was not given simply to increase our head knowledge, but rather the Bible was given to transform our lives into the image, first of all, of God's Son, which we're told that's what God desires, is to translate us and transform us into the image of His Son, and for the eternal purposes of Almighty God to be performed in our lives. That's why the Bible was given to us. Dr. Watt and I have talked about this. These Bible quiz teams, we've had to judge in the past or sit there watching Bible quiz teams. And there'll be quiz teams that will memorize large sections of the Bible. And I wonder the whole time as they're just rattling off by rote verses and so forth like that, I wonder, is it sticking in their hearts? Or is it just head knowledge? Head knowledge is nice. But if it doesn't translate into the eternal purpose of God in your life, it's just what? It's just head knowledge. It's the same thing as you memorizing gas prices on the signs in front of the Citgo station. All right? Gas was $2.68. So that's nice. All right? What does that mean? That means the next time I go to the gas station, I might have to pay $2.68. It's just head knowledge. It's not life-changing. My life does not change. Oh, I'm going to stop driving. It's $2.68. Brother Ken paid $3.68 in California, and then in one spot he paid $4.25 a gallon. Now, of course, you may have to adjust your life if gas prices get up that way. But it's not earth-shattering information to drive by and see the Citgo gas sign saying it's $2.68. But when you read Almighty God's Word, we're not reading a magazine. We're not reading the Pensacola News Journal. We're reading what? God's revelation to us. It's powerful. So we have to think that way. I'm not just sitting down when I open my Bible in the morning, or if you do your study at night, and reading just another magazine. It's not Good Housekeeping. It's not Sports Illustrated. It's God's revelation. And it means something to believers. It is a revelation of what? His divine will and purposes for this earth. Do you pray that His purposes would be performed on earth as it is in heaven? Well, let's think about that further. Two very significant challenges concerning prayer. Number one, now listen to this. Knowing God's purposes through the study of the Bible. Can you lay out some of God's purposes? How about for your family? What are some of God's purposes for your family? Can you lay out those from the Bible? How about your purposes as an older person? Do you know what God's purposes are for you as an older person? How about as a young teenager? Do you know what God's purpose is for you according to His Word? Can you lay that out? If you have little knowledge of that, then you're not understanding the Bible. You're not searching the Scriptures to find out what's my purpose. Why am I here? Why did God save me? Is it just so I can live like every other American lives? Except I'm going to heaven when I die? No, it's much bigger and much broader than that. God has an eternal purpose with me. And I'm going to have to stand one day and not only give an account as a father and a husband, but also as a pastor. Well, I'm going to tell you, that weight is heavy. That's a heavy weight. I'm going to have to give an account for how I communicated God's Word to all of you and to my own self. That's part of God's eternal purposes. And we have a responsibility to know that. So, challenge number one, do I know God's purposes through the study of the Word? Everywhere in the universe, God's will is being performed except on this prodigal planet. Everywhere. Every comet is going where God says for it to go. Every planet is revolving in their proper things. Can you imagine if God just took His hand off the universe, what would happen? I mean, it would be catastrophe. Right here on this little earth, we just implode, explode, whatever, because God's the one by whom all things consist. Now you think about that. You think about the next time you take your vitamin. All right? Maybe you take Flintstone vitamins. Or maybe you take these big honking senior citizen pills, Geritol, or whatever they call those things. I take a ton of those kind of things. Now, we take them thinking what? This is going to make me live longer. This is going to help me, right? But who really holds my life in his hands? All right? I read about people all the time that ate right and jogged every morning and jogged every evening and did all the things right, died of a heart attack at age 40. And you're like saying, I'm not doing any of that. Yeah. Give me my ice cream. I'm just going to enjoy life while I can, right? Well, no, we've got to be wise. But we also know who holds our life in his hands. And whatever we live on, it's just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity and the purposes of God. My little expanse of time, whatever God gives me, I don't know how long. You don't know how long either. John McCain had 81 years. Now, you look back and say, 81 years, that's a fairly long time, but that's all he got. What is 81 years compared to all eternity? Nothing. It's just a little drop in the bucket. And you and I, no matter how long, you say, well, I'm going to live to be 100. Be careful about saying that, by the way. Okay? You may not want to be living to be 100, especially if you're having to be cared for all the time and you have no quality of life. You can brag on yourself for living to be 100, but if you have no quality of life and can't enjoy it, you're just suffering in anguish. So be careful about things like that. We're here as long as God allows. Number two, only one person has ever done God's will perfectly on this earth, and that's Jesus Christ. With that in mind, I should aspire to do God's will, and I should seek to know what His eternal purposes are written in His Word. Now, with that foundation, I move over to challenge number two. And challenge number two is this: making God's purposes the subject of my prayers. Have you ever thought of prayer in that regard? Making God's eternal purposes the subject of my prayers. Wait a minute, we're supposed to pray for each other, true. But when you pray for someone else, do you pray for God's eternal purposes to be performed in their life? That His will would be done in their life? Sometimes we say it, but do we really mean it? Do we really want God's will to be done in that situation? Are we going to be satisfied when God's will is done and performed? Are we going to be content with that? Praying for God's purposes in whatever subject we pick up, whatever a person we pray for, whatever situation we pray over, do we seek God's eternal purposes in that particular prayer request? 1 Corinthians 14:15, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will pray, we could word it this way, I will pray with Spirit-controlled understanding. We're going to go a little deeper in that. The how of prayer is concerned with God's will being performed on earth as it is in heaven with every prayer request I bring to His throne. Not just some of them. All of them. All of them. Now you got to think that way when it comes to prayer. Let's continue on. Two challenges. Number one, knowing God's purposes through the study of the Bible. And number two, making God's purposes the subject of my prayer. Romans 8:26-27. I imagine every child in Santa Rosa Christian School has memorized this at least two or three times through their times in school. Very important. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now let that soak in for just a moment. We don't know how to pray as we ought. Who said that? Well, you just said it, Pastor Brady. No, who said that? God did in His Word. He said, we don't know how we ought to pray. So what should we do? But the Spirit itself, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives within the believer. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession, now notice please, for the saints according to what? The will of God, the eternal purposes of God, his will. Who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the eternal purposes of God. The Holy Spirit knows the will of God. Now, knowing that affects how I pray. Am I in harmony with the Spirit of God whenever I go to prayer? When we pray for our students here at Santa Rosa Christian School, and we give out these prayer lists, and we'll be doing that, Lord willing, next Wednesday. And we give out those prayer lists, and we look at those children's names, and most of them we don't know. Maybe we recognize a last name here and there of someone that maybe used to be in school here or somebody we know from the community. But you look down there on that list. Each one of those is going to live somewhere forever. God says in His Word that He desires, He's not willing that any should what? Perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, what does that tell you about the eternal purpose of God in relation to the sinner? He's desirous, He's willing that people come to Him and not perish. So whenever I pray for those children, Lord, I don't want this 2-year-old to die and go to a devil's hell. Lord, would You by Your grace save this 2-year-old so that they would not perish? Are you praying within the will of God for that child? Absolutely. Why? Because God said in His Word, I am not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, will all of them be saved? No. Because God gave man a free will. But I can pray. I can pray for each one of those children biblically, seeking the eternal purpose of God to be performed in their life that they might be saved. You see how this works? And I want to pray with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also, that what I'm praying is within the realm of God's will. Now, how are you going to know that? You've got to search the Scriptures. I know that alcohol is wrong. How do I know that? Alcohol consumption. The Bible says I'm not even to look upon the wine when it is what? Red. That's pretty strong language. I'm not even to look upon it. That tells me something. God's already spoken His will regarding that. I don't have to debate with anyone. Some people say, well, you know, that's old-fashioned. Well, until God sends word that He's changed His mind, I'm just going to do what He says. And that's the way every one of us needs to be. That's following His eternal purpose. He shared with us what He wants us to do. Is it all right for me to lie? Bear false witness against my neighbor? Tell a lie? No, it's not. God's revealed His eternal will in that regard. We could go down and just list hundreds of principles in His Word whereby God has revealed His eternal purpose. So those act as parameters for my prayers. Okay? Pray for so-and-so. He wants to get a job with this company that sells liquor. Anybody see a problem with that? I'm just going to speak up and say, I'm sorry, I can't pray that prayer. That goes against my Bible. That goes against what God says. I wouldn't want anybody to be encouraged by doing something like that. Pray for them to go have a job in a secular place. I am mystified, completely mystified by the country and Western world that sing hymns to Jesus, and the next thing you know, they're singing a barroom tune, talking about drinking alcohol and liquor with their buddies and their pals, and they've got these two worlds and they've joined them all together. I don't get that. I don't understand that. It just goes contrary to the Bible. So what do? We have to stand on what the Word of God says, His eternal will, His eternal purposes that are laid out. So when I pray, My prayer is this. Dear Father, pray in me the prayer that your Holy Spirit is praying for this individual. You ever prayed like that? I want to be in tune with your Holy Spirit, because that's what 1 Corinthians 14:15 says. That's what Romans 8:26-27 says. The Spirit knoweth the will of God. So I want to pray what the Spirit wants. And what does the Spirit always do? He seeks to bring glory to whom? The Son. Always. He wants the will of God performed. Dear Father, pray in me the prayer that your Holy Spirit is praying for this individual. Your will be done here under these circumstances that are in the lives of these individuals, so that your purposes will be what? Performed. Sometimes the answers are hard. They're hard. This is, I think, one of the most important understandings that you and I have to have as we go into our prayer closets, as we walk around during the day just subconsciously talking to the Lord. Do I want the will of God performed in each one of these children's lives? Do I want the will of God performed in my children's lives? Do I want the will of God done in situations that involve this church and this ministry? Do I really want His will to be performed? Be careful, because the will of God may bring trouble into your life, may bring more difficulty into your life. I've read recently of a pastor. He was a man that was a faithful pastor, small church pastor all of his life. 45 years in the ministry, and he got brain cancer. They told him it was too far advanced. There was nothing that he could do. So he announced to his church family, he said, I can't take any treatment, so I'm just going to continue as long as I can. Within a month, he was debilitated to the point he couldn't even talk. And then he left this world. And one of the men that was there at the funeral of this particular pastor commented that one by one, people walked up there to give a testimony of this particular pastor. And this particular pastor had made such an impact in that church and in the hearts and lives that he left a far greater testimony in his passing than if he'd have lived on, I think, just reading the statements that were made. Sometimes there are things that come that are in God's perfect will that you don't understand, I don't understand, but the Holy Spirit does. And we need to learn to pray that way. So God help us in that regard, in our normal, natural Christian life, to pray that God's eternal purposes would be performed. Do you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Do you pray for the future of America? I don't know what God has in store. I see things that are showing a huge division. Our lives could be completely flipped upside down within the next few years. America has had a long run, but it doesn't mean we're going to keep on running. All you have to do is look at how the map of the world has changed since 1945. How many nations have been dissolved? How many new nations have come about? You think about that and realize and know that there's nothing in prophecy that says America's just going to keep right on going. Who knows? Do you pray that God's will would be done? That's a whole different framework of thinking than the normal, Lord, pray for so-and-so. He's got this hurt and that. The Lord just heal him. Well, wait a minute. Maybe it's not God's will. Lord, your will be done in his behalf. Lord, we would love to see him healed if it be your will. But if you have other purposes, Lord, I want to pray in sympathy and in harmony with your Spirit for this individual. And I think that that's the spirit of what the Lord shared in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, as he shared the Lord's Prayer and said that we are to desire his will to be performed on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray that you would use this message to work in our hearts. Lord, it's so easy to get in a rut in our praying. Sometimes we repeat the same phrases over and over and over again, and maybe we don't think about what we're praying. We're not really concerned about your will. We're just sharing prayer requests. Lord, help us to have a deeper understanding of what it means to communicate with you and a desire for your eternal purposes to be performed on this earth as it is every second of every day in heaven. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of prayer. Bless our time now as we divide up in Jesus' name. Amen.